Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. Hello, my name is Demetrius. Jason is not with us today, but you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everyone. Today we have a guest that's joining us. She leads AVR Interior Design and has over 15 years of experience in interior design. Please help me welcome Arlene Reams. Arlene, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Demetrius.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. So, Arlene, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and AVR.
So, my name's Arlene. I am the owner and lead designer for AVR Interior Design. And it's a labor of love. I've been doing this independently for 5 years, and I've been in the industry for 15. And I'm so happy to be here introducing my company and talking to you.
So things are going well so far, I take it.
Yeah. You know, you take a leap of faith starting a business, and to go out on your own and have to hustle, you kind of have to do everything when you're on your own, business development, as well as designing and drawing and concept. And then you also have to deliver and do construction administration. Like, you have to do it all on your own. And it's also way more rewarding, I think, than sitting in an office.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as much like work, I think, when it's yeah. All you, and you have sort of some skin in the game, I guess, in some sense, since all the pressure's on you, it's more life than work.
Yeah, it does become your life for sure. I think any business owner would tell you that, but a designer or an architect, you don't check out. You know, you're constantly designing in your head, even if you're not sitting at your desk.
I totally agree. So, Arlene, did you start in a large firm, or was it a medium-sized, small interior design firm?
I've been in both. I started in film and retail design, and I quickly realized that the film industry wasn't for me. And I was like, but I love designing spaces. I love working with space. So I went back to school and went for an interior design program. And out of that, I've worked at large architecture firms, small architecture firms, and also interior design firms. And you learn something from each office, because no office runs the same. They're all run a little bit differently. And you, particularly being on the architecture side, I think was really helpful, because you understand what they're asking of you as an interior designer.
I think you mentioned it a little bit. The work that you're doing is residential and commercial, right?
Yes, residential and multifamily mostly.
Multifamily, okay. Are you working on anything currently? Like, what do you have going on right now?
Right now, business recently picked up, and it's mostly residential. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of multifamily projects on the horizon that I have my eye on, and they're just really early phase. So I don't think they haven't selected a designer just yet. They're still like in the entitlement phase or something like that.
Okay. Is it for the residential, is that sort of remodels, new ground up?
There's a little bit of both. I have two large remodels right now. One project got put on hold and it seems to be coming back. Mm-hmm. And it's a residence in PV in Palos Verdes. Okay. And that's a really big remodel. There's another one in LA, the Mar Vista neighborhood of LA. Mm-hmm. And that's a big remodel with an addition to it. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by big remodel, it means the whole house is being gutted. It's yeah. not just, you know, a room or a bathroom remodel.
Yeah. So, we've had episodes in the past where we've talked about interior designers. So I wanted to have this opportunity to ask you sort of what interior designers do. And then the second part of that is what's a common misconception about interior designers?
It's a big scope. It's pretty much anything on the interior of a building. So it goes from collaborating with the architect on how the architecture is, if you feel that there's something that could be accommodated. I personally try to respect that role of the architect to what he's designed unless I see a red flag. Usually when I see a red flag, it's something to do with they didn't think out the furniture layout and, you know, the door swing is wrong, something like that. So I definitely dip my toes into that and collaborate with the architect. But I would say it's mostly in the realm of finishes, lighting, fixturing, plumbing, and overall flow and feel and mood of the house or the project, whatever it may be. It might be a commercial project. Mm-hmm. And the misconceptions that I think a lot of people have is that they think we're decorators. And on the other end of the spectrum, I've been asked to remove architecture and I tell them I'm not qualified to do that, you know, or add architecture. And I tell them, you know, I can get you on that process, but that's not really my role. I don't know if that's a load bearing wall, if, you know, you can move that. And then, like I said, being underestimated and being thought of as just a decorator, people, I think, underestimate how big of an impact space, color, light has on their lives. So they think it can just be fixed with like some, you know, pretty throw pillows when the problem sometimes is a lot bigger. So you get pigeonholed sometimes on either end of the spectrum, depending on how educated your client is.
Yeah. Now we've had the conversation in the past, and one of the things that came up was that the interior design industry has people that were told that they are good decorators, but they weren't trained in interior design. Mm-hmm. So there's different levels of expectation throughout the industry based yeah. on people that may have worked with someone that was just told that they have a good eye for design, as opposed to someone that was actually trained in it. Do you think that exists, or is there something yeah. else in the industry?
Definitely. And, you know, I think there is people out there that have a great eye for design, but being trained to think spatially, I think it's an extra tool in your arsenal. Like, you can't just think about the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And earlier when I was telling you I worked in architecture offices, I think that was very, very helpful in kind of developing my skills.
So you mentioned being trained spatially. What do you mean by that? Can you expound on that?
I think it starts with your schooling and working on plans, right? And starting to visualize that in 3D. It starts out that way. And then as you go through your career, you start to learn how you could assume that something's going to look one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But through experience, you know, sometimes you have to 3D model it or you have to throw it into an elevation to really understand the scale of things. And I think that comes with experience, with just time doing it multiple iterations and multiple projects.
Is the spatial understanding also an element of feeling, emotion, mood of how a space can affect a person?
Yeah, I think so, because I tried to describe something like a color, mm-hmm. and the description that comes to mind is heavy, you know? And sometimes people get it and sometimes they don't. But to describe a color, or let's say some hardware that has a design to it and you describe it as heavy, even though physically it's not heavy, but it's heavy to the eye, mm-hmm. or to the mood that you're trying to create. And I think those types of descriptions also change mood when you're in a room.
Yeah. Now, going back to our conversation about how you collaborate with the architect, I have to mention you were married to an architect. Do you think that has had any effect on how you operate your business and how you work through your projects?
Yes, it does. He is, the person I go to say, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
You think, what challenges do you see here if I do this or if I do that? And it's interesting because when it comes to our house or our projects, that's where we butt heads more, because we both have ideas of what we want to do. And it's also funny because we know the possibilities. So it's hard to make a decision in the first place. It's just really funny to have two designers in one relationship.
Yeah. And you hinted at it. You guys are working on is it ground up? And you have a desert house that you guys are working on, right?
Yes. We bought 2.5 acres in Joshua Tree and we're building ground up. We don't even have utilities. We're bringing that in.
Yeah. It's completely raw land, right?
Yeah, exactly. I remember our realtor in Joshua Tree was like, you're just buying dirt. All I sell is dirt. I'm like, okay, that's a good way of looking at it.
That's funny. Was that stressful? You're still going through it, but just pulling the trigger even initially, was that stressful?
Let's see. It wasn't a hard decision. The land is not expensive. Mm-hmm. It was $15,000 at the time. That was in 2016, I believe. So that wasn't stressful. The stressful part was, packing multiple lunches and trekking through the desert. We got chased off of one property by a neighbor, and we were on the property that was being for sale, not on his. But it's just interesting.
It's really far in. Like you have to make a trip to get
So we did that a few times, before we found the property we liked, because we're stargazers, and that's what started the whole thing. Is we went out there and we were stargazing. We have a telescope, and that's kind of what inspired it all. So we wanted to be able to be far enough outside of the city to where we have dark skies, but be able to bring in some utilities at least. So I think we're going to have a septic, but we have electricity and we have water on the city grid.
Okay. How far along are you guys with that?
We just had the land surveyed, and we're still in the design process.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are working through that design together, right?
Yes, we are. It's been redesigned a few times. I think we have a winner this time, though.
Who's winning the battles, the design battles, or is it 50-50?
I think right now it's in Lucas's realm because we're still designing the architecture.
Okay.
But I really like where it's going. I really do love what he's envisioned. And there's a beautiful vista that we're taking advantage of. So I'm excited. I'm excited to do the interior to something that I think is going to be a beautiful house.
Yeah. Did you guys come up with a name for the house, the project?
So we do have a name for it. It's called the Spaceman House. We don't know if it'll stick, but That's what we've called it since the beginning because of our hobby. And we might even do a mural on the exterior of a big spaceman. That's an idea.
Okay. So with the design, you guys have the basic concept there, it sounds like. So you haven't gotten into to really put your imprint on the interior just yet?
A little bit of space planning. Okay. But because we just recently decided on the floor plan, the interior design is taking off now.
Okay.
But there is, like I said, it's good to work with an architect because you can mold the space and have it make sense in for the interior design, you know, because one of the important features is that from the kitchen, you can see clear through the living room and to the mountains through a big window. And I thought it was really important that you could see that from the kitchen where you're going to be preparing food, because that's where you spend so much time, especially if you're entertaining in the kitchen.
Yeah. Interior designers rarely get in from the ground up of a design, right?
Yeah, it's pretty rare. We usually get hired on a little bit farther into the design process, usually at least schematic, I would say, for the architecture phase of schematic.
Yeah. Has it been more exciting, I guess, for you to have to be able to put your imprint in so early? Have you noticed a difference rather than having to come in later and sort of deal with what's there?
Oh, definitely. You can mold your design and that can mold the building. It's kind of a symbiosis, right? So the design is, the architecture is molding the interior, but because I'm in so early on, the interior is also molding the architecture.
Yeah.
Because of little details, like I said, I want to be able to see the mountains from my kitchen.
Yeah. Has there been any sort of design influence that you guys are trying to use to come up with your design?
It was an architect in Arizona that used a lot of rammed earth type of architecture. Even though the house isn't in Arizona, we were looking at a lot of different types of desert architecture and trying to be sustainable and work with the climate, you know, in our placement of windows and material selection for the exterior. So we were looking at a few architects. I think Will Bruder was one of them.
Do you have a blog or anything that you're sort of updating with this process?
Yes, we do. I'm going to send you that so you could attach it to this. It's spaceman.house.
Okay. Spaceman.house?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then last thing is, if anyone wants to follow along with you on social media or AVR, how can people reach out to you and follow along?
So my website is avrinteriordesign.com, and I'm on Instagram under AVR Interior Design also. And LinkedIn is Arlene Reams, and Facebook is AVR Interior Design.
Great. And then spaceman.house again?
Yes, that's the blog for the desert house.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Arlene. Really appreciate it. And then for our listeners, we'll talk again on Tuesday.
Thank you, Demetrius.
Thank you. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.